The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America, Friday, May 29th. This is Tim Matthews, and we've got a lot to talk about today in the world of golf and what's happening as we're getting nearer and nearer to the restart of the PGA Tour at the Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial coming up June the 11th. So just less than 2 weeks, we'll be watching the guys tee it up again. No fans will be there for the first few events, and we'll talk about what that means to some of these guys and other things about the game of golf restarting with our guest, Mark Immelman with CBS Golf, and he's also the host of On the Mark on PGA Tour Radio. You hear him all the time, and he'll be joining us here in just a little bit to talk about all those things, including the John Deere Classic, which they have canceled now officially on the PGA Tour, and the tour says they're going to put something else in its place, which is coming up scheduled now the week of July 9th through the 12th. So they did that for the coronavirus situation, so the people at John Deere decided not to have the tournament. So it's still a very fluid situation, and we have with us, of course, Frank Bassett from our Nashville studios. Frank, it seems like just when we kind of think we know what to expect and what's going to happen on the tour and who's playing, who's not, something like this happens, and somebody, you know, the powers that be at John Deere Classic have decided not to have the tournament. It just shows you that things are still kind of iffy in the world of golf and in the world in general, right?
Yeah. Hey, good morning, Tim. It is. It was a kind of a out of the blue, but it had to do with the state's restrictions that wouldn't be lifted by the time that tournament was ready to be contested. So that's why they had no yeah. choice, I think. It wasn't like they wanted to. But anyway, yeah, it just shows you the time we're living in. I mean, you just don't know from day to day what's going on. So we'll see. Everybody's going back to work, but the numbers came out, and we have over 40 million people out of work right now.
Not encouraging.
No, it's not.
But at some places, as you talked about, the numbers are going down, or at least they're flattening the curve, as everybody likes to say in this. And so in some or a lot of states, they're reopening slowly but surely, getting more businesses involved. That includes golf courses and athletic venues. We're talking about, and you watch any sports program right now, the restart of the NBA. Maybe shortly down the road, baseball getting restarted, the NFL season, which never seemed to be totally in jeopardy because it was still so far down the road, but they're talking about training camps and everything opening as scheduled in July. So it seems like life is getting a little bit back to normal. As we just said, the Colonial will be hosted here in less than 2 weeks. They also talk about, though, Frank, I guess it scares a lot of people or worries them, about the second wave, right? Like once we get going more and more with this and restaurants and things open, that we might get hit again come September, October, November, and then what happens? Do we shut down again, right?
That's well, I don't think we shut down a second time. I think we do what we need to do in regard to the elderly population. And, you know, God knows it was a tough way to come to the realization that tighter regulations on the nursing home business need to be put in place. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
Yep. But yeah.
The extended care facilities have been hit badly.
Yeah, big time. Yeah. But I think it, I don't believe we shut down again, in my humble opinion. I think that we move on, just like the flu. It's worse than the flu. It's more contagious than the flu, but we also need to be more careful. You know, wash your hands, wear the mask, whatever, when you go out. Just try to be nice to each other, because there's a lot of crap basically going on right now in the world, and I really don't want to get into that political conversation on this show, but be nice to each other and fix your ball marks on the green. You know, that won't spread the virus if you fix your ball marks. And if you hit the stick or the noodle or the advanced cup and it sits within, I say, 6 inches to the cup, it's a hole in one on a par three shot.
I'd like to get mine.
But it can't bounce off that thing and come off the front of the green, and you still say it's a hole in one. It needs to be 6 inches too.
I know.
Some people are kind of taking liberty with this. And some of the people at my club, by the way, and God knows there's nobody at Club Corp that would do anything wrong, but some of the guys at my club are working on their handicaps in the opposite direction right now. So,
is that right?
Getting ready for a competitive season. We'll talk to Emelman
about
that.
I've played, played with some people that, you know, with the raised cup, if you will, that are just drilling putts, right? Because it's a backstop, basically.
Yeah.
And so they got a putt. They take all the breakout. I'm not saying from 50 feet, but from 10 feet, they're just like, all right, instead of it being a cup left, I'm just going to – and if you miss, you're in bad trouble because you miss everything and you're 20 feet past the cup. But if you just tap that cup going at Mach 3, it's in the hole, and they count it because, you know, it hits it. And so it kind of makes it fun. You're never going to get those ones that lip out, you know, as long as you – play by that rule of if it hits the cup in any shape or form, it's in the hole. Guys are taking – and what they're doing, kind of, Frank, though, is funny about it, but that's kind of what professionals do. If you watch, they take a lot of breakout of putts that you and I kind of sit there and stutter over thinking that we're going to – because they just say, you know what, let me just hit it firm. And they do it repeatedly. You and I don't oftentimes have the guts to do it that way, but that's probably a good strategy.
Yeah, they do it everywhere but one place, and that would be in Georgia.
They get
greens,
knee knocking there too.
Yeah, those greens are tough. Yeah. And the Donald Ross course greens are tough. Hey, we'll get into it with Mark Immelman in a little bit, but the match, which was the greatest golf ratings ever, can you believe it?
The greatest golf event in the history of mankind.
Oh, they're just everybody, but it had the best ratings.
We're ever. Also desperate for golf, weren't we?
Well, I think Brady and Manning had something to do with that too. And Woods and Mickelson, I mean, come on. But, boy, Seminole really was very disappointing to me as far as the interaction between the guys. And the quality of play was not really up there as it should have been.
Yeah.
So they were showing a lot of rust. As a matter of fact, they were showing more rust than a 1927 Ford that's been sitting in the field. I mean, there was a lot
what
of
I
rust.
Liked about the, what I liked about the Seminole event, which was Ricky and DJ and those guys, it was Matthew Wolf. It was that it was fun to see those guys walking a course, carrying their own bag, they're wearing shorts. So they kind of looked a little bit more like what we all see when we play golf with our friends and everything. So that kind of brought it back down to a normalcy and kind of that looks familiar and that was fun. I also get that if you're going to put on a made-for-TV event, which that is, of course, and it was for charity, and that's a great thing, and just like the match with Brady and for charity. So I get that too, but it's also on TV, so you have to entertain. It shows you that there are only a few people. That's why it always gets me when, and we'll talk to Mark Immelman here too about that. But when people transform from pro sports athletes to on-air commentators, it's a very tough transition. I swear to you, 90% of athletes think they can do that job. Oh, I could be a football analyst. I could do golf. I could do baseball. Yeah, I know how to talk about that. It is not easy to do. It's not. And you can tell when the camera's on and they're like, okay, you're mic'd up, entertain us. Go for 4 hours. Give us something.
Yeah.
And you picture crickets.
Yeah. Well, I know of a few. I mean,
it's hard to do. And that was the case.
Kurt Warner did a good job with that transition. I enjoy Kurt Warner on the NFL channel. Tony Romo, obviously, is fabulous in the booth. I mean, what a great analyst. He and David Duval. I equate Tony Romo to football, David Duval to golf, and how they made that transition. And Boomer Esiason and some of those other guys, Kurt Menefee.
Yeah.
You know, you don't like Menefee. You don't like Boomer?
No. Boomer doesn't do much for me.
What about Kurt
and Herbstreit? Kurt's not a former athlete.
Come on. Well, that's true.
I like Kurt, yeah. I like Herbstreit. I like Herbstreit. He's not bad.
He's a neighbor here.
Some of them obviously do a decent job, but
yeah.
But they don't do – I mean, there's a lot of guys that don't, and they come and go, and they fail, and they try. I'm just saying, when you're told to entertain – as opposed to play your sport, and in that case of golf, it shows when you got to put the cameras. And let's be honest, even a year ago, Phil and Tiger got terrible reviews about how boring and dull that event was, and they're two of the greatest golfers ever. So the game's fine. I mean, they know how to hit shots and all that, but we don't want to sit and watch paint dry, right? You got to have some. And if you didn't have Barkley in the booth and some of these other guys, you would have turned that, and maybe a lot of people did turn that off. So it just shows that it's not always that easy to just say, okay, play a game and entertain us, put some mics on. But I think it was fun having the NFL guys there, too. And two of the biggest stars in the NFL ever play. It didn't hurt. And Peyton Manning is one of those rare guys because he can really – I mean, he does all the commercials. He does everything else. He knows how to entertain people, how to turn it on, right?
Done more commercials than – Then what was his name? Oh God, I'm going totally blank. Is that crazy? Samuel L. Jackson that's has right. done he's, movies. Yeah, that's what he said.
That's what he said.
Remember,
at the introduction, Samuel L. Jackson introduced me. He said he's done more commercials than I've done movies.
I went black on his name. I mean, I just went totally blank on his name.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's going to come in and say, say it one more time. If you know what movie I'm talking about.
So that was, I did like it. So let's take a break and we'll get to Mark Immelman, see what he thinks about the match that we saw last weekend with Tiger and Brady and those guys. And also looking forward to the PGA Tour. Again, the Charles Schwab Challenge right next on the schedule and where the guys are at and what he thinks about the world of golf in general. So a guy that's taught a lot of college golfers and future pro golfers, knows the game inside and out. So it'll be an interesting time to talk to Mark about that. So we'll take a quick break. We'll be rejoined here by with Mark Immelman when we come back. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and we will return right after this. And welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews in the Dallas studios and Frank Bassett in the Nashville studios. And we're now joined by Mark Immelman. Mark is a man who wears a lot of different hats, host of On the Mark on PGA Tour Radio, also helps on the PGA Tour Radio broadcast for the play-by-play, and also with CBS Television. And, oh, by the way, director of golf at Columbus State University. So he's got a few things keeping him busy these days. Mark, thanks for being with us. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Tim. It's good to be with you guys. I'm not in the Nashville or the Dallas studios. I'm outside here in Columbus, Georgia, and it's feeling very much like spring. So all's good, man. All's good.
It's beautiful down there this time of year. Mark, thanks for joining us on the show. We last time we did a show together, I think you interviewed me in Memphis. We were at with the old St. Jude, and I think you introduced me as the mayor of Memphis or something. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you act like it. I mean, you go around the place and and you shake hands and you kiss babies and you meet folks. I mean, you are the mayor of Memphis. And you know what? To that, Tim, with a nice introduction, they made me feel sort of embarrassed slightly. The truth is, I'm not with the radio crew anymore. I'm just basically CBSing and PGA Tour living right now. So the radio is on my resume and in the past.
Yeah, you did a great job on PGA Tour Radio. One of the highlights of that was being struck by a 4-iron hit by Dustin Johnson, I believe, wasn't it?
No, it was Mark Leishman.
Oh, it was Leishman. God.
Yeah, he's got me twice, okay? He got me that first time on national television, which made the Sports Center not top 10 because it was the midst of a live call. That was in Torrey Pines. And then a couple years later, his last hole of the day at Aronimink. It was the ninth hole, the par 5. And I was just down the left-hand side because when Leishman's playing, typically all the misses go to the right. So I'm waiting down there, and it's kind of gloomy out, same day. And with radio, you're out in front because you call the ball coming toward you. And they hit, and we see the arms go left, and I can't pick it. All of a sudden, I turn around to duck, and it hits me in the back of my arm. So if I was looking at the thing, it might have got me in my head.
Ouch. Ouch. Yeah, Leishman hits a hard golf ball, too. He's one of the good guys, too. Did he have a comment for you?
He didn't know it at the time because I just moved ahead. But a week later, because this was in the playoffs, a week later at the Tour Championship, he's on the putting greens. And I walk up to him, and I've got this big bruise on the back of my arm. And I'm like, hey, Mark. He goes, oh, I got you. That. I was like, yeah, that's the second time. he's good about it.
Yeah. Hey, so to fill us in on, you've been doing some really cool stuff. I want to jump to this real quick because it's about your instruction. And you've been posting some videos. What kind of reaction are you getting? I mean, you haven't done that really a lot in the past as much as during this shutdown of the world. But really some good points and great instruction, man. Good job.
Well, thanks, Frank. I mean, deep down, you know, take the broadcast hat off, and I'm a golf instructor. And so during this time, honestly, you know, before this break, I didn't have the time to get to these sorts of things, you know. And now being at home, and I just decided, hey, let's sort of help folks bring some cheer. You know, I went into the podcast thing too, and we released a few extra episodes, and I got to some of the golf instructional things, and they've been well received. But I've sort of got a bit of a built-in audience, maybe, given, you know, that the podcast has done pretty well. So folks have enjoyed them. It's grown into a thing now where CBS in these in their rewind shows have asked me to do those trick shot things once a week, which is, you know, challenging me mentally and physically. But it's been a fun time, and it's been nice to create some content for people around the world. And to that, it's been nice that they've responded to it.
Yeah, I've tried some of the trick shots myself here in my backyard, and my neighbors have asked me to stop. I've hit their house a few times, but you know, trying to hit it back over my head backwards. No, it didn't break any windows, but I did pop the side of their brick. When a golf ball hits brick, just FYI, it comes back at you real fast.
You better be careful, because you don't want to antagonize the constituents. You might not get reelected as the mayor.
Of course, I'm in Nashville. They won't let me be mayor over here.
Doesn't bounce that far.
Yeah. So Mark, go ahead, Tim. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to step on you.
We're joined by Mark Immelman with CBS Radio, and of course, host of On the Mark. And go ahead, Frank. Just wanted to let people know.
Because Mark is a golf instructor and has had a lot of great players at his at Columbus State University. Mark himself was on two championship. He was three-time All-American, 92, 94, 95, and a two-time academic All-American. Smarty pants, winning two national championships, 92 and 94 with Columbus State. So you won national championships at your alma mater, and then you came back, and now you're the director of golf. What kind of golf team are you guys going to throw out there? And the second part of the question is, it was announced today that Brown University has, they're cutting out, I guess, mm-hmm. academic scholarships for men's and women's golf. Tell us what the impact may be for you guys and what you guys are doing to stay solid.
Well, thankfully, our team, you know, the golf in our community, because in terms of success, our golf program, you know, and this happened from well before when I was the coach, you know, has been pretty successful. I think overall, I think we've won the national championship six times, multiple conference tournaments and such. And so golf is well supported around here, and in Georgia, as you know, golf is a big deal. So thankfully we have the support of the community that's helped us to sort of withstand, you know, the challenges of this pandemic and the economic effects. So we're okay there, but still that doesn't mean that budgets haven't been cut. And all that means is fundraising is going to have to be upped. I mean, we're going to have to amp up our efforts over there a little bit to meet the deficit. Because there have been programs suffering. I mean, a dear friend of mine, David Trainer, was the coach at Akron, the University of Akron, and their program got disbanded a few weeks ago. And so it's happening around the place, but thankfully thus far we've seen sort of largely immune to it, even though we have to watch our budget and cut a little bit here and there. And in terms of the team, we had a solid team this last season. We were sort of disappointed that the season was cut short, because we'd just come off a stretch where we had a win, a second and a third, and we were up to fourth in the nation ranking wise. And we were young. And the good news is everyone's back next year. So we're looking forward to what the future holds, because we feel like there's some unfinished business. So we got some talent, and the thing now is to hopefully get the kids back into school in the fall and see how the season progresses.
Mark, I'm kind of curious too, when you're talking and staying on that subject about what's happening with the pandemic and colleges and people being on campus, not on campus, but also football being the driving force for all of this, maybe not so much at Columbus State, but certainly the schools we're talking about. When you watch all the coverage and what schools may or may not do and what football teams might play or may not play in front of full crowds and all that, but how the trickle down affects golf teams and tennis teams and rowing teams and so many other sports that are funded by the football programs, and again, maybe not in your particular case at your school, but does that concern you? Do you look at those when you watch those stories and kind of go, wow, I can feel it, because if you're at a school that's going to lose $30 million on their football program, guess what? If you're the golf coach, the women's track coach or something like that, you may not have a team next year.
Yeah, well, look, that's what happened at Akron, because the football program there's pretty successful. I can't remember the conference they play in, and so they are the, you know, the cash cow. And so obviously that will be the priority. And then I guess the basketball team would be next. So, yes, if I was a coach down the hierarchy, you know, to one of the more fringe sports, I would be concerned. Again, with us, you know, football around where I am is Auburn, which is about 45 minutes down the road, and then a UGA, which is about 2.5 hours up the road. and then, you know, Georgia Tech is close. And so there's a lot of football around us. We're in the heart of the SEC. But, you know, we're a Division II program, and I guess the largest sport we have is men's baseball. And then it's things like softball, tennis, basketball, that sort of deal. So the university here has investigated football, but again, competing against Georgia and Auburn, that's an impossibility, you know, especially around here.
Yeah, no, for sure. Again, we're talking with Mark Immelman with PGA Tour Radio and CBS Television, and speaking of that and the CBS Television part of it, and let's get into the tour and the restart of the tour. By the way, it sounds like you're in a zoo. So I think it's you got some beautiful birds right outside, right that are humming in here, and it sounds great. It's the reality of you're on a golf course, right?
Tim, we've seen glimpses of Mark's house and his videos, and it's not a zoo. It's a nice place.
Look,
I don't mean it bad way. I just mean it's wildlife.
I've been in golf most of my life, so birdies are a thing. So I'm actually looking at our birds.
There you go.
Okay.
I'm looking at our bird feeder out here. I was more concerned about the two dogs running around here acting like banshees and making a noise, but they've fussled up around the corner somewhere.
Bogey the Wonder Dog, which is in the other room here, I'm in my home studio, will start any minute, so just get ready. Invariably it happens.
The menagerie
in every show.
Will continue.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, Mark, what about the restart? The Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial coming up in less than 2 weeks. What can we expect? There won't be any fans there, limited media, limited everything, and social distancing, and a very different world. But do you expect to see pretty much the same caliber of golf as we were used to seeing several months ago and in the past years?
Yeah. You know, the PGA Tour players, these are the best of the very best. And so I'm sure during this time, the guys I've certainly spoken to have been working hard on the games, you know, since stuff has opened up. But, you know, for those guys that were in climates or areas that weren't open and golf courses were still closed, they've all got launch monitors and simulators and stuff like that. So they've all been working on the game now. Under pressure, it's a different deal. But we just saw Tiger come out and look like he was in mid-season form just a few days ago. And Rory looked pretty sharp. And so, you know, as far as the Charles Schwab Challenge goes, I'm jacked about it. Obviously, it will be different without fans and no gallery stands and stuff like that. But you know what? At its heart, it's like golf. They play golf anyway when they're back home. So it's still go out there and play well and make birdies and avoid bogeys and that sort of stuff. And one thing is for certain, there's going to be a lot of excitement and a whole bunch of eyeballs on the shows because, you know, you've got the top five guys in the field with McIlroy, DJ, Brooks, John Rahm, and Justin Thomas. So it's going to be a fun time. And I'm really quite excited about it. And I'm not, you know, people asked, well, are you fearful of traveling? And I'm like, no, you do the right thing and you just go ahead and hope and faith. And so I'm excited to be a part of it.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I was saying on a previous show when Tim and I were discussing Colonial, you'll get to see more of that golf course, I hope, in this broadcast because you won't have the galleries and you won't have the stands and all that. So I think it'll be kind of like Seminole. It'll be getting to see Colonial in its purest form. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, going forward as we get fans or patrons or whatever to the tournaments, you're going to see more pure golf fans out there as opposed to people who just want to go party. And it's not a negative statement. It's just a factual statement that, you know, a lot of the tournaments, as you well know, Mark, and we all are out there, turn into people come out to party and hang out. They don't really walk and watch golf. I think with the limited number of fans that will be allowed going forward, it's going to be more of a pure golf experience, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. I'd not even considered that. You know, for me, it's just like, heck, golf is back. And you know, a lot of we've seen around the globe, not just golf, but just sport. I mean, folks are so interested in everything, and whatever we're showing, folks were glued to. And so now that I'm kind of proud, really, that the PGA Tour has gotten on the front end of things and shown that they can sort of take the mantle and lead some. So for me, just the fact that live sport is back on television and folks can find some respite in that, I think it's heartening to me, and I'm excited.
Again, we're joined by Mark Immelman with CBS Television talking about the return of the PGA Tour and the Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial, which will be June the 11th. Let's go back a couple of days. We just referenced it a little bit ago, Mark. The Capital One's The Match, And we had Tiger and Peyton Manning against Phil and Tom Brady. That broke a lot of cable television records for viewership for golf events and whatnot. Now, maybe that's just because people are desperate for any kind of live programming. Maybe it's because the names were the big names and everybody wanted to see. Whatever the reason, a lot of people did tune in to watch. Were you entertained by it, despite what the golf was like? And let's be honest, the football players did not play that great. But were you entertained by it? Did you enjoy watching it?
Yeah, I did. I mean, you've got four personalities that are that big. It shows that, to me, it just highlighted the fact that no matter what your station is in the world, you know, golf is a common bond. And yeah, you're seeing four guys come together raising $20 million. I mean, that was insane. Just playing 18 holes of golf. And so, to me, it just highlighted what golf represents to the world and how many folks play the game. And I thought it was thoroughly entertaining. I thought Peyton was the star of the show. Obviously, Tiger played beautifully, and Phil was Phil, and Brady came through, as you know he would, just as he has in his career.
What a putt!
He sort of struggled a little early, but you know that's to be figured out given the tough conditions, and he hasn't played very much, and so you know it was all that I expected and more, and I found myself kind of being glued to the broadcast, and I thought Turner did a wonderful job down there too. I thought they absolutely killed the coverage, and all in all, I think it was a home run.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It was the conditions, guys, the weather. I was very worried because I thought, oh no, they're not going to be able to pull it off. And those were some difficult conditions. But to go back to something Mark said earlier about Tiger's play, Tiger did look in almost perfect midseason form, and it. Do you attribute that to the layoff and his limited practice regimen where he didn't have to press as hard so his back wasn't as stressed, or what do you think?
I think this layoff, in as much as what it sort of was bad for certain folks, like maybe Rory, who was playing really well, although he looked sharp when he came back too. I think the guys who were injury prone, like a Jason Day and a Tiger Woods and that sort of crowd, I think this was like a timeout. It's like stuff is not going like it should, so the coach calls a timeout in the game, and you try and sort of reestablish some momentum, and you just settle down. And so during a time like this, those guys got to rest. And basically everybody was resting because people really couldn't play much golf. And so the playing field was effectively leveled. And so I think for a Tiger Woods, it was a tremendous time. I mean, he looked lean. I mean, he looked thinner. He looked sharp. The golf swing was free. And I think this layoff was beneficial just because he could really recover and recuperate. And there wasn't really a deadline that was put to it. I mean, you wouldn't have to rush through protocols and training regimens and stuff to try and get back for a certain date. He could just ease his way through this thing. And I tell you what, he's looking pretty sharp right now.
Yeah, he looked great. And by the way, Phil also said afterwards that, and in the recent days, that he thinks this is something that should happen every year. And I'm sure he'd love to be a part of it, but even if he isn't, he's talking about two big-time golfers with a couple of celebrity guys, whether it's, I guess, NBA players, NFL players, whatever they might be, and kind of make it into an annual type of almost back to the days of the Skins game when those were so popular on TV. Do you guys, and I'm asking you too, Frank, you think this is something that they could do on a regular basis? Did it show fans will support this even if you're not in this coronavirus kind of situation? You think people would tune in and watch that kind of event on a yearly basis, once a year, twice a year maybe?
I defer to Mark.
Well, Frank, I think as you're crossing platforms and you're bringing in guys and girls from different sports, that does bring a new audience. So you sort of cross-pollinate a little bit. So you'll get some eyeballs on it. I mean, for me, during this time, it was such a success because there was nothing else on. And granted, you've got four megawatt personalities. But when you've got a full PGA Tour calendar, you've got sports happening all over the show like normal, it's just another show on television. And there's going to have to be something really special to attract folks to it. And then you add to that the lack of time in the schedule, because the schedule's full no matter where you play. So it'll be hard in the future. But look, Phil's the king of content. And you look at him on social media and stuff right now. Yeah. I'm sure he's looking to build another one or two on the top of this, and knowing Phil and the leverage that he does have, it's probably going to happen.
Yeah, the Skins game was exciting when I was much younger and watching it. It was fun, and the banter back and forth was great. One of my favorite points or scenes of all that was Fred Funk with Annika Sorenstam, and Fred had to put the skirt on, and then Tiger calling the putt for him. We won't go any further than that, but just fun stuff. It's, you know, hit and giggle, and giggle golf. But like the Big Break, let's look at that for a minute. The Big Break was a very expensive show to produce, which is actually why it's they didn't do it anymore. But it had a lot of followers, and I would love to see what the Big Break is getting right now as they do the Big Break Marathon on Golf Channel, and what sort of viewership they're getting. But I think I agree with Mark 100%. Nobody was competing against the match for eyes and ears. That's going to change, and you know that'll level the playing field or make it lopsided when the NFL starts gearing back up.
And especially now, too, with this limited schedule we have, you know, you're going to find the blue chip players playing a lot more. And so the golf fan is going to have a bonanza upcoming because you got all the top five guys playing in just about every event because the window has been shortened now in the season. And we're going to have, think about the six major championships in the next 12 months. So that's going to up the ante even more.
Yeah, that's slamming it.
I want to get our fill of golf.
Yeah.
And that won't even count the Olympics. You know, we won't even have the Olympics.
Well, how do we – let's go – talking golf, about the Olympics, let's back up to something that's near and dear to all of our hearts, and that's the Ryder Cup. I mean, that's just the most fun competition to me in the world, period. How do we do a Ryder Cup without patrons or fans, if you will? How do we do that, Mark?
Well, the rumor is, and don't quote me on this, but there is thought and conversation to postponing it. Because a lot of the players have been vocal about the fact that the fans make the Ryder Cup. I mean, Brooks Koepka came out and said this, although he's been highly quotable of late. And Rory's had something to say. So I don't know. I think it can be done. I think that's a show that would garner just massive ratings if it was only television. But you wouldn't have the energy of the crowd. And the energy of the crowd, really, that amps up the emotions for the player. I mean, obviously, when you're representing your country and you're competing in something that big, there's pressure, there's internal pressure. But you add to that a partisan crowd, and that's a different deal entirely. And so I think if you're playing Whistling Straits, for argument's sake, and it's quiet, it'll be a different thing. It'll still be the Ryder Cup, but it won't have the emotion that, you know, a Ryder Cup with fans would have.
Yeah, you know what I thought about that, Frank, is – like they're talking about it. I was saying this from day one when they were talking about playing sports and no fans being there. And you're seeing that in NASCAR and other things. And I've always said, well, assuming, and maybe it's a big assumption that people are smart enough to, you know, not be right on top of each other to social distance. But why do you have to have it completely empty? Can't you have it half full, a third full? So if a Ryder Cup event would have 50,000 fans out there, could you still have 15 or 20,000 fans and ask them to wear masks or do whatever you want to do? I'm just saying, just like a football game, I don't know if you go to a game at University of Georgia and there's 100,000 fans and you say, nah, we can't have any. You could have 25,000 and they'd still be far enough apart from each other and you'd still have fans in the stands. I don't know why it's all or nothing. And obviously, and now athletic directors are kind of saying that. Ohio State has put a model together to say, okay, we can probably get by with 25 or 30,000 fans. At least you have some fans there. It's not only revenue. I get that part too. But it does add to the atmosphere, whether you're watching at home or you're playing on the field. The fans add a lot to a game. And to just play in front of the birds chirping, it's just it's not the same.
Yeah, well, no, here, Mark. Let's back up. Well, Mark's dog barked before mine did. So, Bogey, you're next. But there you go. There's a good one.
There you go.
Let's go back to the Players' Championship. I was there. We were, you know, doing live broadcast from the Marriott Sawgrass. And Thursday night, you know, they shut it off. Talking to some of the officials at PGA Tour, you know, they had asked the fans to be smart about, you know, how they move about the course and how you kind of distance each other. And they didn't do it. It was – everybody was jammed on top of each other. So – you know, and then we were coming into the ramp up of this pandemic, this COVID-19 issue, and so I don't know that they can really do that because are people going to really stay 6 feet apart against the ropes trying to see Tiger come through? Nah, probably not. Mark, did we lose Mark?
Got you back there. You lost me for a second.
Oh, there you
say
go.
That again.
Oh, I was just saying that, at the Players' Championship or anywhere, fans didn't really push away from each other or stay away from each other like they should have. And what I was saying is, when we come back and we do have fans or patrons at these events, these championships or tournaments, how do you keep people staying 6 feet apart when Tiger Woods is coming through?
You don't. I mean, look, at its essence, sport is all emotion. Sport touches us in our soul. And I know mentally individuals are aware of the fact that you have to remain 6 feet apart. But when you're at a football game, for argument's sake, and your team, you know, has the last second shot to win, folks are going to go bananas. And the emotions will override the mentality. I mean, that happens in life, really. So, you know, you can put out the rules all you like and hopefully people will abide by them. But you know, when emotions get raw when it becomes sport, as we know it, I think it'll be hard for folks to really, you know, be real cerebral about their decision making.
I was ready to high five people in the public supermarket the other day when I found toilet tissue. I mean, I was excited. I was thrilled. Tim?
Yeah, I mean, now you throw it to me, huh, Mayor?
Yeah, Mayor.
Tim,
go.
Tim, what do you
Tim?
Think about that?
What do you think?
What do you think about that? I think that this has been very enlightening, is what I think, and I'm glad that that Mark has had the opportunity to spend some time with us and to get outside there. And Mark, we do appreciate it. We know you got a lot of things happening, and it's going to gear up again as we get into the PGA Tour, and it'll probably be harder to get hold of you. Although we'd like to have you again down the road a little bit, but we do appreciate your time, your insight, and continued success in everything that you're doing, all the different formats and your lessons and everything else. And we look forward to talking to you again real soon, okay?
I appreciate you, Tim and Frank. You guys are doing a great job, and it was a thrill to be on your show with you. Keep up the great work and keep putting out content for folks, because folks are really enjoying it no matter where they are in the world.
Thanks much, Mark. And when's the next On the Mark podcast going to be posted?
It'll be dropped a little later today.
Great.
A very interesting guy called Jake Hutt, who is a fascinating young instructor, and he's got some really good stuff.
That's great. Great podcast, great instruction, and I'll send you a video of down the line Frank swing, and you can give me your opinion. don't laugh that hard.
that's a hearty laugh.
It was. Hey,
take care, Mark.
Thanks, buddy. We appreciate
it. All right, guys. Go well.
Take care.
All right, take care. Mark Immelman, again. He's the director of golf at Columbus State. He's host, as Frank just said, of On the Mark on PGA Tour Radio, and also does a little bit of work with CBS TV in their golf coverage as well. So, yeah, staying busy in all this. So, I'm looking forward, Frank, to what's going to happen at Charles Schwab Challenge. I told you the other day that I won't be there. There'll be very, very limited media there. And as far as local, like here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, they're only going to have four cameras from the four local TV stations and two people from Star Telegram, Fort Worth Star Telegram, the Dallas Morning News newspaper guy. That's it. They're going to have like seven people there, and
nothing,
then of course there'll be PGA Tour Radio doing your SiriusXM coverage, and then the guys at CBS and everything. But very, very, they're just keeping it down, right?
Yeah.
Just like you talked about, as far as spacing, they're going to say, okay, we're only going to have, you know, so many media there. I'm not sure who's coming nationally, Sports Illustrated, things like that, maybe, but very. And I'm disappointed. I wanted to be there, but it is what it is.
Well,
they got to be safe about everything.
You'll have the AP writer there. You know, you'll have ESPN there.
Yep.
You'll have CBS, of course, their crew. Mark Immelman will be there, and Jim and the rest of the guys.
Jim Nantz and all those guys.
Jim Nantz, Amanda Baleonis, our good friend Amanda. So, but not us.
It'll be international too, right? I mean, there's got to be media from Europe.
You would think.
Asia.
You would think.
I would think.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah,
we'll see.
It's a worldwide event, so
you have.
It's going to be.
You have great tour credentials. Just
here,
walk out there and just flash them and walk in the door. See what happens.
That should work.
Yeah, that should work.
And just walk right out the back door.
They'll escort you right
back to
your car,
and there you go, Tim.
Yeah, well, I know there's a secret passage. Is that still open, by the way, at Colonial to get into the clubhouse without going through the front door?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
probably still open. Yeah,
I know about that.
I imagine so, yeah.
In fact, I didn't. You told me about that several years ago. I did not know what that was. But, you told me about that.
So. Yeah, kind of interesting.
Yeah, it was fun having Mark. You know, we all started together with PGAtour.com, with Golf Talk America, On the Mark, Talk of the Tour. And just, you know, those were the shows on PGAtour.com.
Yeah,
so we all kind of kind of started together on the digital side of the world. And, of course, yeah. Mark's done a great job. I thought it was Dustin Johnson. It was Mark Leishman. Well, Leishman hits the ball harder than Dustin Johnson does.
I didn't actually follow that story. How did he get hit by the club?
By the ball.
Left his hands?
By the ball. No. Oh, by the ball. Ball.
He was hit by a club.
He was down the fairway calling the shot. And gotcha. He knows that Leishman's miss is usually right, so he was on the left side. So he could see it. And, of course, all of a sudden, here it comes. And he turns his back, and it hits him on the back of the arm. So, he said, ow. He was calling it as it hit him. So,
it's not fun getting hit by a golf ball.
No, it's not. It hurts. So, okay. So, before we get out of here, what's on your agenda this week? You going out to your country club and play some golf or what?
I don't know. I think I'm going to try to because the weather looks just gorgeous.
Beautiful here.
Yeah, for the next week or so. I've got a couple of meetings today, non-golf related, and so I'm not sure if I'll be able to get out. I might go over to Steve Johnson and Hank Haney's golf ranch. They have a small, shortened nine-hole course there that you basically play with like a hybrid and wedges or a three-wood and wedges.
That's good practice.
But it's a lot of fun.
That's good practice.
Yeah, I might go do that. Yeah,
tell Stevie I said hello, or Hank if you see him over there. But
okay.
We need to get Steve back on the show too. Talk a little. Steve's always so opinionated. It's a lot of fun. So
I know.
So I'm
finally
excited.
Back into golf. So we'll be talking about Colonial. You know.
Yeah,
so
I'm excited to get back to talking golf. Yeah. Instead of doing movie reviews.
Yeah.
What was it? Steve Johnson said they can't review the movies I've been watching. That was nice. That was nice of him.
I don't understand what you meant.
I have no idea, Tim. I don't know. Hey, well, shout out to the French Lick Resort and our friends at French Lick. They're going to be reopening, so go to FrenchLick.com and check it out. It's been tough because they employ 90% of the town and the surrounding area.
Right.
So they're going to be reopening. The golf courses are open. You can go play golf and eat, and now you can go stay there. So check it out. All the schedules on FrenchLick.com. Just want to give a shout out to our good friends there, Brendan Sweeney, Dave Harner, and the crew at the French Lick Resort. And a shout out to your friends and our friends based out of Dallas, Club Corp.
Yes.
Club Corp.
Club Corp.
The leader in private clubs.
There's hundreds of Club Corp golf courses all around the country. So you can join one. You can get special privileges at others if you travel around the country, as more and more of us will be doing more. And most of them, I think, are open now. So a great chance to get out there and find the club that's just right for you. So go to clubcorp.com to check out more and find the courses in your area.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that should do it for us. We do appreciate everybody for listening and checking us out. You can catch us wherever you get your podcasts, Golf Talk America. Make sure you find it. You can also get us on Twitter, Frank. Can you find us on Twitter?
Yes, at Golf Talk America.
At Golf Talk America is where we are on Twitter. So check it there and follow us as well. Thank you, Mark Immelman, for joining us. Be sure to keep track of Mark and his CBS colleagues when they're calling all the action this summer, and also his podcast On The Mark on PGA Tour Radio. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for being with us, and remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.